Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. My name is Mark Daly, I'm your host. And yes, another weekend, that means another race is in the bag. Three rounds of the 2020 Formula One World Championship are now behind us. The latest was the Hungarian Grand Prix, and once again, it was one of the black silver arrows, so to speak. The Mercedes triumphing again, Lewis Hamilton winning his eighth Hungarian Grand Prix and second race of the season so far. Plenty of things to talk about on the show tonight, and guys, it's already after midnight here in Vancouver on the West Coast, and I got to be up early tomorrow, so we're going to burn through this somewhat quickly. So let's do this right away. Let's get right into the results. Let's go over the top 10. Lewis Hamilton winning, like I say, beating Max Verstappen by 8.7 seconds. Max a little bit closer than you might expect. Lewis using up a free pit stop right at the end to switch over onto soft tires to claim the fastest lap of the race. Valtteri Bottas in the second Mercedes rounding out the podium. Then it was Lance Stroll fourth in the Racing Point. Alex Albon in the second Red Bull, Sebastian Vettel for Ferrari, seventh was Sergio Perez in the second Racing Point, eighth was Danny Ricciardo in the Renault, ninth was Carlos Sainz in the McLaren, and tenth was Kevin Magnussen for Haas, and they're getting their first point of the year. Now, over on the constructors' side, Mercedes really running away with it after only three races. Silver Arrows now have 121 points in the constructors. Red Bull, second place in the constructors with 55. McLaren still third in the constructors with 41, only 1 point ahead of Racing Point. Ferrari 27 points, and they round out the top five in the constructors. So not a very good weekend again for Ferrari, but I guess by this point it's not really anything that we shouldn't expect, especially after Sebastian Vettel only said a couple of days ago that the new upgrades that that they've introduced into the car over the past couple of races aren't really a game changer. And again, we saw that this weekend in Hungary. So it looks like it's going to be a long season for the Scuderia. Anyways, let's go now and take a look just at the race, the final classification. We'll go over the first, we already did that. going back in my notes here. Like I say, it's been a very long day and it's late at night here. Anyways, fastest lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton. He did it on lap 70 and it was a time of 116.627. So again, another very impressive race weekend for Lewis Hamilton. And what can you really say? This one, at least from the point of view of a challenge from for Lewis Hamilton, was basically over at the start when his teammate Valtteri Bottas, who was second, lining up just beside and behind his teammate, double clutched at the start and then dropped down in the race order and had to fight his way back up. I mean, he did quite well. I mean, he was really flying there towards the end of the race. Really looked like he was going to pull in Max Verstappen, but Max really fought hard to stay ahead of him. And it's one thing to catch Max, it's another thing to pass Max. And even though last week at the Styrian Grand Prix of the Red Bull Ring in Austria, Bottas made it look fairly simple after a really valiant defense of the position by Max, a lap previous, it didn't last very long. But it just seemed that after a while that even though the lap times are coming down over those last 10 laps or so, once they cleared the traffic, that just you kind of had that feeling that Bottas was just going to fall a little little bit too short, and you could definitely tell it was getting a little bit tense there in the cockpit, especially for Max, who said something over race radio similar to the effect of "get these bleeping cars out of the way" in front of me, which I think it was Danny Ricciardo and Sergio Perez at that point. But I mean, Max really fighting hard on older rubber, might I add, to stay ahead of Valtteri Bottas. But anyways, Bottas just being on the wet and damp part of the track, it just he just did not get away well, and he had to say, quote, "It was a pretty bad race for me, to be honest. Starting second, obviously, he aimed to win the race. I lost at the start. I reacted to a light on my dash that went off. I don't know what it was, but something changed on my dash, so I reacted to that instead of the start light, and so I got the anti-stall, so I had to do the start again. I lost it there, no problem, but obviously I lost many places and made the race difficult for me. Fighting to the end, it was pretty close with Max, but still good points." Bottas also went on to say about the extra stop that he had, "I think it was worth the gamble, yes. I think it really gave me the difference in the tire life. It didn't quite pay off today. I look forward to Silverstone, but plenty again to learn from this weekend." Yeah, and absolutely, I agree with what he's saying. He really did lose it right at the start there, which obviously for Bottas is extremely disappointing and frustrating, because at this point, over the last two races, what we've seen with Lewis Hamilton is that he's really come and he's really bounced back after what was a very, very frustrating opening weekend at the Red Bull Ring at the Austrian Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago. Lewis getting penalized for not slowing down during the yellow flags in Q3 when Bottas went onto the grass, and then also being awarded a grid penalty. All these different things that went on that just made it a very, very difficult weekend for him. I mean, we've seen Lewis get penalized before, obviously last year in Brazil for the incident that he had with Alex Albon there, but then to get through qualifying, then have Red Bull protest just hours before the race, and then he gets pushed back because of that, and then also when he tangled Albon later in the race, another grid penalty there. I mean, it was a great result then for Lando Norris, who managed to take advantage of that 5-second time penalty to sneak a place ahead of Lewis Hamilton. But just since then, every time Lewis faces adversity like that, he comes back flying. He's focused. He's more determined forever. And although he might have these bad weekends here and there, I mean, it's still at this point, after we've seen Lewis Hamilton do this year in, year out for such a long time, can we really bet against this guy? I mean, I don't want to say that the championship is over. I mean, far from it. I think that Valtteri Bottas will win races this year. But I think that due to the fact that we are going to have a shorter season, it's going to be a sprint rather than a marathon that we'd see in usual times, we still don't know ultimately how long the actual season is going to be. We've got another a week off in between here before we go to Silverstone for the British Grand Prix, and then the 70th anniversary Formula One Grand Prix on the weekend of the 31st of July, and then the 7th of August. Then it's the Spanish Grand Prix, Belgian Grand Prix, Italian Grand Prix, and then at the beginning of September, and then we go over to Mugello for the what they're going to call the Tuscan Grand Prix, second week in September, then the Russian Grand Prix at the end of September, and then who knows after that. I mean, we still have the U.S., Mexican, and Brazilian Grand Prix still on the schedule. Abu Dhabi at the end of November is still on the schedule, but we still don't know how it's all going to shake out. I mean, it's going to be a shorter time, and Bottas certainly let a handful of points slip away from him. But I mean, the thing is that when you see not just the fact that Lewis Hamilton has won these two races, I mean, he's dominated these past two races, and this weekend in Hungary, he just didn't put a wheel wrong, especially in the first several laps of the race when the track was a little bit damp. It was just a lot of chaos going on and until everybody had switched from the inters back on to dry tires, and then the race kind of settled down, and then the race order kind of established itself. But Lewis Hamilton, I mean, he was he was absolutely perfect. Like I say, he didn't put a wheel wrong. He's just drove fantastically well in the race today. I mean, and also during qualifying, I mean, smashing track records and lap records, like it's going out of style. And when he's driving like this, is it really, I just cannot bring myself to bet against Lewis Hamilton when he's in this form. Now, that having said that, in 2 weeks, we're going to get a brand new race in front of us, a brand new weekend, and it'll be something to really watch and see how Valtteri Bottas responds to this. But again, like I say, I think that it's very much a situation with Hamilton and Bottas, like it was with Hamilton and Rosberg, minus the toxic animosity and polarization that there was within the team at Mercedes in the Hamilton-Rosberg era. The thing is that while Bottas might have his day, some tracks he might go better at than Lewis Hamilton. He might, like I say, win some races here and there. But just over the course of an entire season, I just can't see him doing that. I mean, Lewis is still so fast. He's still just doing it weekend and week out, and I really can't bring myself to bet against him. Anyways, time for a break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
While sports can bring us so much joy, it can also bring us a lot of unwanted stress, and that stress can make it difficult to concentrate, relax, and get decent sleep. Sunday Scaries was launched in 2017 by two best friends and business partners, Bo Schmidt and Mike Sill. They operated a full-service bar with 50 employees and were always exhausted. They tried all kinds of products, but they didn't work. Then they started experimenting with CBD. They loved the effects and regained control of their days and nights, but they wanted better CBD products. So what they did for themselves was specially formulate CBD gummies with vitamins D3 and B12 that were super consumable, easy to take on the go, and effective. Long story short, their specially formulated CBD products and vitamins helped relieve the overwhelming angst they felt on a daily basis. So in July 2017, they named the company Sunday Scaries and began sharing their products with friends and launched their online store at SundayScaries.com. With tens of thousands of customers, monthly subscribers, and a 100% money-back guarantee, Sunday Scaries has always been on a mission to transform a worrisome nation into a chill one. And right now, we have a bonus for you. Get 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME. Again, 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME.
Hey guys, this is Greg Peterson, host of the podcast Hoopin' with Hoops. Despite the fact that college basketball is in the offseason, it's never too early to get a jump start on taking a look at these teams because there is now 357 of them for the upcoming 2020-2021 college basketball season. I'm going to give you guys a deep dive on every last one of them, keep up with all the transfers in college basketball, and so much more. You are able to subscribe to Hoopin' with Hoops on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. So yes, let's look down the race order a little bit. Let's give some attention, a little bit of love to some of the other teams that we don't often talk about often enough here on the show, and that's usually because there's nothing good or anything really eventful from a positive point of view to talk about. And one of those teams is Haas. We were talking about it on the weekly regular show just a couple of days ago. Roman Grosjean talking about he's uncertain about his position within the team, and in fact what Haas's plans are in F1 and whether or not they're going to stay in it in the long haul. Anyways, they had a pretty decent race today, and they managed to get one car into the points. K-Mag came home with 1 point for P10. He could have been in P9, but both Haas cars were penalized with a 10-second time penalty because of instructions that they received on the formation lap before the start of the Hungarian Grand Prix. So what they did, the team called both K-Mag and Grosjean into the pits at the end of the formation lap to make a switch to slick tires after they were going to initially start the race on intermediate or wet tires. So what they did that actually brought them up as high as third or fourth in the field once everybody had switched over to slick tires, and they just kept trucking on all race long. Anyways, there was an investigation that was undertaken by the stewards after the race. They were looking over specifically Article 27.1 of the sporting regulations that states, quote, "Driver must drive the car alone and unaided," end quote. And this limits the amount of radio radio instructions drivers can receive in the car. And so they met with the representative of the teams, and then the stewards did rule that the team had breached the rules regarding driver aids. Anyways, there's a bulletin that was released by the FIA that said, quote, having considered the matter extensively, the stewards determined that the team instructed the driver to pit. The team could not prove that one of the exemptions was made under paragraph A2A2G of the Technical Directive 011-17 was applicable. Therefore, the stewards considered that there is a breach of Article 27.1 of the sporting regulations, that the driver must drive the car alone and unaided, end quote. So, well, that that is a, well, it was a brave call, and ultimately it paid off. But if Magnussen had not been as high as ninth when the race ended, then this penalty could have obviously, it would have paid off in the end, would it? Because they would have missed out on the points, and they would have ended up, outside of it. But anyways, a bit of a gutsy call. The decision to actually switch the cars or bring them into the pits for dry tires on the formation lap was actually helped in part by one of the team strategists who flew back to the factory after breaking his arm last week. So, I mean, they've had a bit of a tough start to 2020, particularly because one key area is they have Ferrari power units, and the engines for Ferrari just are not very bueno this year. I mean, Ferrari themselves, works team struggling, Haas struggling, and Alfa Romeo, Giovinazzi and Kimi Raikkonen on the back row of the grid, and really didn't have a very eventful or very positive Grand Prix as well. But anyways, going back to Haas, the decision to bring the cars in was made by a fellow by the name of Mike Caulfield, who injured himself the other week in Austria. Anyways, team principal Gunther Steiner said, quote, he's normally at the race, but he fell off his bike in Austria and had to go back for an operation. In the beginning, it was like, if you start where we are lined up and you don't do anything different, it's difficult to make any gains. So Kevin wanted to try some wet tires and immediately saw it on the formation lap that it was drying up. And then there was a very little chatter between our strategists, one of whom is sitting in England this week because he broke his arm last week. So one of the two, one is here, obviously, said at some stage, hey, let's go dry. It's drying up. That's a chance. And then it was a very, very quick decision to do this. They discussed between people. And we just did it, there's no big discussion or anything. It would just be a good idea to let's try it. We have nothing to lose, end quote. Well, yeah, it was a gutsy decision. Like I say, it could have turned out a lot worse for them had that ruling from the stewards come at a point where Magnussen was dropped from 10th to 11th. But good on them. I mean, to get a single point after, after the start of the season that they've been through, you got to take, what you can get because it certainly was not a very eventful, positively a good start to the season for the Haas team. But also what I was really disappointed with this weekend was McLaren. Let's just quickly look at qualifying. So you had the all Mercedes front row lockout, then you had the two racing points on the second row, which was a fantastic qualifying for them, third row of the Ferraris, and then you had fourth row of Lando Norris and Carlos Sainz, and it was just it didn't go well for them off the start of the race. And once everything went a little bit crazy in there, and then everybody came back onto the track, some of the cars that got that caught out by some of the traffic coming to the pit lane was Sebastian Vettel, who lost some position, their track position in the pits, but also Lando Norris, who I think dropped down to about P18 or P19 at one point. So he was well down in the racing order there. And obviously that must be extremely difficult and frustrating to see. But then the McLarens, I mean, being on rows 4 and 5 to start the grid, I mean, there was a decent considering. I mean, it was a weird weekend weather-wise in Hungary. I mean, you can count on one hand the amount of times over the years that we've had wet or rainy conditions at the Hungarian Grand Prix. I mean, it never happens. But it was weird weather. It never really out and out rained. It was just light showers or light rains or just some drops here and there. And the rain that was threatening to come during the race itself, it never really materialized, despite repeated warnings to different drivers up and down the grid from the pit wall. I mean, during the TV broadcast, they did show the radar picture. But at the end, I mean, there were some spots that showed up on the helicam and the in-car cameras, and that was about it. But it certainly played enough of a role, especially at the start of the race, to really kind of flip things up on their head, and it really was chaotic. But, you know, disappointing because, Lando Norris, I thought he had a good couple of races to start the year. Carlos Sainz struggled a little bit last week, but, I mean, a decent result for him today, P9. It was not quite as good as what, we'd come to see over the past couple of races. So we'll have to keep an eye on McLaren, see how they go at the British Grand Prix in a couple of races. I mean, by the time it played out, you had Lando Norris. It was in P13 behind the Alpha Tauri of Danny Kvyat. But another guy that really struggled today was Charles Leclerc. I mean, he ended up outside of the point, a lap down. And I think actually that we should just mention that quickly before we go to the next break. I think it was a real poignant moment during the race when we saw Lewis Hamilton lapping the Ferraris and lapping Sebastian Vettel, who was been a contender and a rival in the world championship over the past couple of years. Obviously not this year and not so much last year, but over 2017, 2018, definitely 2018, Vettel was a contender at least two-thirds of the way through the season. And I think it was just one of those real benchmark moments to see, the Lewis Hamilton lapping Sebastian Vettel there. And it really was, kind of brought it home in sort of a stark reality that, Ferrari has really dropped off the pace there. I mean, they just don't have it in qualifying. They don't have it in the race. I mean, credit to Sebastian Vettel. I think that the result that he had in Hungary to come home in sixth place was pretty decent. I mean, he didn't have the greatest pit stop. It wasn't the fastest. And then, like I say, he got a little bit hung up with all the traffic coming into the pits, what with everybody basically deciding to pit within the same, within about a two-lap window there after the lights went green. But he really fought hard, and he did not, he didn't have it easy necessarily. I mean, he did lock up at one point and was quickly pounced on by Alexander Albon, who eventually finished a place ahead of him in fifth. But still, I think he fought hard. I mean, compared to his teammate Charles Leclerc, finishing outside of the points. But still, I think that when they had their first round of pit stops, when they put Charles onto the softs and Sebastian onto the medium tires, that ended up to being the better call, at least at that point in the race. At the end, obviously the hard tires were the way to go, but Charles really suffered a result of that, and Ferrari once again proving that they just don't always make the right calls when it comes to strategies and tire stops and that sort of thing. Anyways, time for another break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey guys, Greg Peterson here with the Baseball Betting Podcast. As we know, the MLB season is back in our lives. It's going to be a 60-game sprint unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And I'm going to be giving you picks every single day, 7 days a week, with Major League Baseball. We're also going to be keeping up with the KBO as well. If you like baseball and you like being able to make some money, subscribe to the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. So another team that came under the scrutiny of the stewards was Red Bull, and Alex Albon was lucky to keep his fifth place at the Hungarian Grand Prix after the team was actually cleared of attempting to dry his grid spot before the race. So FIA technical delegate Joe Bauer notified the race stewards at the Hungaroring that Red Bull had been using leaf blowers, which they usually use to cool different components on the car, to dry Albon's grid slot following some of the rain before the race. So the teams have been reminded by race director Michael Massey before the race that they're not permitted to artificially dry the track by any means. So anyways, they did have a meeting with representatives with Red Bull after the race, and the stewards had found afterwards that the team had not actively tried to dry the grid slot as they were accused of. And this was a little bit different than we heard during the race on the Sky Sports TV broadcast, because there was some suggestion, some discussion that went back during the commentary that what they were getting back from the studio from some of the analysts there was that perhaps that had actually happened. Anyways, under further review, the stewards decide that they did not contravene any of the rules, and there was a bulletin that was issued afterwards that said, quote, the stewards have reviewed the video evidence and came to the conclusion that the competitor did not attempt to alter the grip of the track surface, end quote. So that meant Alex Albon finished fifth place and kept the 10 points in the final race classification. And Christian Horner, the team principal, did say afterwards that there, or even before the decision came out, that there was no intention by the team to cheat and dry Albon's grid slot. And he had to say, quote, I don't think there's been anything intentionally done. I haven't spoken with the team manager yet. I hope that's a non-issue, but obviously someone has reported it, so I'll wait to hear from the team manager, end quote. So looked into, it was a non-issue, and that would have been of a bit of a shame. I mean, Albon, obviously not as racy as his teammate Max Verstappen, but certainly he had a decent afternoon, a very similar kind of day to Sebastian Vettel. And I mean, those two went back and forth kind of fighting for quite a while there. And it was good to see that he didn't lose out because of what would have been a bit of a silly mistake by his team. Anyways, Max Verstappen feels that his second place at the Hungarian Grand Prix felt like a victory after he felt he would actually miss out on the race, having a crash on the way to the grid. So he actually crashed his car in the damp and greasy track conditions on the reconnaissance lap before the race, and this caused damage to the front end of his RB16. So the team mechanics really rushed to fix his car in the minutes and time up to the start of the race, and they actually managed to complete the repairs to his front wing, nose, suspension, and all the other areas that were damaged, with only just a couple of seconds to spare before the 5 minute warning cutoff. Anyways, Max had to say, quote, it was not how I wanted it in the beginning, of course, ending up in the barriers on the laps to the grid, but the mechanics did an amazing jobs to fix the car. I don't know how they did it, but incredible. To pay them back with the second place, I was very pleased with that. The first half was very crucial, and from there on, I think we had the right calls and we had the good pace. We kept doing our own thing, and of course, to be able to split the two Mercedes cars is good for us, end quote. And you know, I couldn't help but cheer on Max, especially in those last couple of laps, just you know, knowing that that he had those issues, he had that adversity, you know, and after having such an unfortunate incident of damaging his car before the race started, and the team just did, like Max referred to, an absolutely wonderful job under pressure to get out there, fix the car when they're literally under the gun, and then literally just getting it done with just a couple of seconds to spare before the deadline, the 5 minute warning was you know, came into effect. I think it's a phenomenal achievement, and somehow that doesn't really surprise me. Red Bull, they always seem to seem to be on point with things like that, especially when it comes to race strategy and double stacking cars in the pits and things like that. So I think that's quite a great achievement for them. But it would have been very disappointing for Max, obviously, to have lost that second spot very late in the race. What with Valtteri Bottas, you know, breathing down his neck the way that he was. Now I just want to talk before we finish off this brief wrap up this evening about Racing Point. So again, after like we saw last week at the Styrian Grand Prix, Renault has protested Racing Point again after the Hungarian Grand Prix, citing a breach of Formula One's sporting regulations over listed parts. Last week, it was they protested the brake duct design after the Styrian Grand Prix, and this has been under investigation. The stewards looked into it last week and ruled that there was enough to warrant an investigation into it, and they wouldn't be saying anything further on it until they released release the findings of their investigation. So the original outcome of the protest is expected to be heard between the break between Hungary and the British Grand Prix in 2 weeks. So you know, keep your eyes peeled and see whether or not that this comes up. So this really comes up over to what these listed parts, which are defined as parts that teams must design and build themselves, and this is where they're really fingering the brake ducts on the RP20 that are they should be designed and built by themselves, and we'll wait and see what happens. And I've kind of thought back and forth about this, about the whole pink Mercedes, this RP20 be literally a carbon copy of last year's W10, and it is interesting if you see some comparison drawings and you see how they sort of splice together. I mean, they obviously look, it's very, very similar, but the dimensions of the two cars, that they don't line up completely, but still. And I've thought about it quite a bit, and I've really come here and to the point where I've thought, well, if they can design and build the car on concepts that are proven to work, then sure, why not, as long as it's not like a downright photocopy job and complete like carbon copy of the original inspiration or the original source. And if they've taken these concepts and applied it to their own car and used it as an inspiration or a model to work with, then I don't particularly have an issue with it at that point. If it comes down to an actual real carbon copy of the source material, then that's a completely different thing. But we'll really have to wait and see what the results of this investigation are, because if those brake ducts actually turn out to be identical to the Mercedes parts, then there's obviously an issue there, and then they should be punished for that. But it really does make it interesting to watch the situation, because they are a team that are really flying. I don't think that anybody expected them to see them up there, and that's perhaps a part of the reason for some of these protests. And this is nothing new. I mean, the fact that Renault keep protesting this, it's just the latest iteration, or the current manifestation of what's going on. And the questions first started coming out way back at winter testing back in Barcelona in February. So this has been around for a long time, until even though they said that they had brought a lot of this to the FIA and the FIA didn't have any issues with it, it really won't be over and done with until everything gets sorted out and ruled on by the stewards once and for all. Anyways, a final story I wanted to cover tonight before I wrap it up is just dealing with that as well, with the Racing Points. And Mercedes team principal Toto Wolff has actually revealed that the Racing Point cars are actually faster than the works cars in some of the corners at the Hungaroring, which is absolutely mind-blowing. Anyways, Toto had say, quote, all the complaining we heard last year about that the smaller teams are never able to compete for podiums and race wins is being shown. It's absurd, because Racing Point is right up there. They are faster in some corners than we are, and it's a good challenge to see that. I have no doubt Racing Point will be a hard nut to crack on some of the circuits for us as well. I'm happy for Racing Point, because we were hearing in the past years that the smaller teams on the smaller budgets are not able to compete at the front, and here we go, somebody with vision and an idea of where to prioritize has managed to really make the jump from the midfield into the top teams. The Racing Point is a podium contender, if not a race winning contender going forward. It proves that with the right leadership, the right decision making process and the right funding, you can actually accelerate your development curve. So lessons to be learned, and I'm happy to see them there, end quote. And absolutely, I think that that is an interesting way to put it by Toto Wolff, and that kind of goes builds a little bit what I was trying to say in the previous story, probably a lot more succinct and a lot more eloquently than I was trying to put it, that if a Racing Point has been able to accelerate their development curve and focus exactly on the areas that they need to improve and they're seeing success for it, then good for them. Anyways, guys, it is getting very, very late here now. It is almost 1 a.m. in the morning. It's time to wrap up. I got to be up in a couple of hours. So thank you so very much for listening and downloading the show. If you want to get in touch, same way as always, at ScuderiaF1Pod on Twitter, or email at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com. And that's a wrap. Look out for the weekly show towards the end of the week. Until then, have a great, great week. Take care. Take safe. And talk to you soon. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast.
If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to ScuderiaF1Pod.com.
Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com.